The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Poke the Hornet's Nest with Doug Jenke and Nick Gardner, and our special guest, Leon from Europe.
Leo D. Young is joined us today, a good buddy of mine. But good morning, everybody. We're gonna kind of change the show up a little bit today. We're gonna go with a little bit more macro look. We've spent so much time on the recall and the stupidity of it and all that good stuff that we're gonna now kind of open it up throughout the course of the show about what's really going on in the economy that's not making the news, just so you have an idea of what's going on. But Nick, you have a couple things that you wanted to start the show off with.
Well, one thing I wanted to do, I always like to do, is fix maybe something we might have misstated last week. And last week I said that, what was her name? Dawn Duckett got up there and chewed Kevin Cry out about the millions of dollars he costs us by making a deal with Wind River. And I pointed out, as a matter of fact, Tim Garman had made that deal. Well, he was the head negotiator. Since then, I talked to Kevin, and all Kevin did was point out to the board that if we don't get this letter off, we're going to lose that deal. That's the extent of his involvement. Yet the lice, they are taking and pointing at him as the whole culprit, the one that did the whole deal, and he has cost us many millions of dollars, even though we weren't getting anything, and now we are getting millions of dollars.
Oh, yes.
Who would have thought? But, you know, the thing is, Tim, at the meeting, wasn't man up to stand up for Kevin and say, hey, you know, he didn't negotiate that. I did, and the rest of the board did. You've got your facts mixed up.
Well, Garman is a useless idiot because he also went up on the board, and he had his T-shirt to recall Kevin Cry, which he knew going in was a complete blatant violation of the rules. So I don't put a lot of press into Mr. Garman being upstanding, fine, or honest. He would have done himself a lot to sit there and say, look, I negotiated that, and Kevin just pointed out that it was going to be taken off the table. That's what an honest, ethical person would have done. Mr. Garman is not that honest or that ethical.
Well, you know, we don't have a team on the Board of Supervisors. And let me put this into perspective. A team decides its direction, even if it's a 3-2 vote, they all pile on top and they point us in that direction and do anything they can to take us there.
Yeah.
I would compare it to playing football. When you do the original coin flip and you win, you have the choice of receiving the ball or waiting till the second half starts to receive the ball. Now, the theory behind that, in my opinion, if you take the ball, you're going to run down and score. You're going to keep the momentum the whole game, and we're going to slam them. Or you're behind at halftime. You receive the ball. You change the momentum by taking the ball down and scoring, and you keep that momentum and win the game.
Yep.
So in this instance, it seems like the supervisors, the three of them, said, we're going to get rid of Dominion. We're going to institute a hand count. And the other two, well, I'm not part of this team. I'm going to fight it as much as I can. How would you feel if your five guys on the football team that wanted to take the ball at the kickoff decided, well, we're not even going to try now. We didn't get our way. We need team players.
Well, You got to be on a team, and obviously Rickards.
Ladies
Garman
and gentlemen,
or not? Oh.
Somebody made a mistake. They called us ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I better tuck in my shirt. Maybe he thought this was a mini skirt.
Well, I was about to call you an it, they, them, but I'll leave it at that. The problem is, you know, as long as the liberals had the majority, you know, Comente, Kehoe, Rickards.
Modi,
in particular, Emperor Modi, everything was cool. I mean, they gave out big raises. They made the government bloat. They didn't hire 300 employees. That was all cool.
And they claimed they were Republicans.
They did everything to be great rhinos. And then the new folks get in there, Cry and Kjellstrom, and all of a sudden, it's holy hell is breaking loose. And they've done what I, as a conservative, would have done myself if I had been elected. Got rid of the Dominion, because you and I, Nick, looking at each other on the radio here, we don't believe in the Dominion. So I don't understand why the liberals have this belief that because they believe in Kathy Darling Allen and the sanctity of the voting machines, that their opinion is worth more than ours. And so I support that they need to become a team and go forward, because when they had the ball, we did all the stupid things that liberals do.
You know, and the lies they have taken and made MAGA a bad word. Make America great again.
How can you make that a bad word?
Well, they have done it.
Yes.
Ultra right, MAGA, you know, and they laugh at us.
Yes.
I'm all on board for making America great again. America is the best country that's ever stood, in my opinion.
Now,
we've
got
a European here with his thumb up.
I'm going to stop you, Nick. Leo, you're a European. You've lived through Europe in England and elsewhere, and you've lived in the Middle East or in Asia. Would you, in a simple statement, say America is or is not the best country on the planet Earth?
Well, I mean, it's very simple for me, Doug. You go to the south border, you count the people trying to get in, and you stripe off the ones trying to get out.
Yeah.
You get a number,
and that
tells you everything you need to know.
Yep.
America is the best country in the world.
Yep. There you go. An endorsement from a European.
MAGA is made up of Christians. The lice are made up of atheists.
Yep.
You know, I mean, God created this country, in my opinion. We're based on God's Bible. You know what the Bible is? Jordan Peterson wrote this. He says the Bible is actually a rules for civilization. You follow the rules in the Bible, you're going to have a wonderful country. You're going to have a wonderful life.
Yep.
And then, you know, MAGA stands for honesty and integrity. The lice, they stand for the end justifies the means. Maybe people don't understand why I'm calling them lice.
Why are you calling them lice, Nick?
Low information citizens entities.
Oh, new word, new acronym for you folks. Lice.
That's a good acronym for them. They've got head lice and they've got body lice. The head lice, he's the guy that stood up there, said we just turned in 504 signatures to recall a supervisor.
Yeah,
and then you've got the body lice. They'll say anything they tell them to say. Kevin Christ cost us millions and millions of dollars. We'll see how the lice react to their new acronym.
Well, you know what's funny, Nick, is the easiest way to beat a liberal, because they just don't have any intelligence, the easiest way is when they come up with some stupid statement, just ask them why. Why is it that a little boy should be a little girl? Why? Why is a little girl should be a little boy? Why? Why is our border allowed to be open, but Ukraine, we're going to spend $100 billion? Why? If you ask a liberal a why, they chew on their tongue and they offer up stupidity on how they feel. It's not fair to the immigrants that they have to be in a third world Central American country. It's not fair that a little boy might, in some moment, play with a Barbie doll. It's not fair. They don't stay in the fact world.
I'll tell you what's not fair. These immigrants can move up here and cross the border, and we're giving them tickets to go to any place they want. We're giving them food. We're giving them lodging. We're giving them everything. Try going to Mexico.
Yeah.
I want to go live in Costa Rica. Well, you know, you've got to have – we got rules. You can't just move down here.
No.
There's nothing fair about that.
Well, you know, Nick, it's funny since Leo brought it up. Leo, you're a jerk. The border crisis is, you know, all of these liberals, again, just because they're not intelligent enough to have an honest answer, they were the ones that were pushing the sanctuary cities. We need sanctuary cities. Got to have sanctuary cities. We got to let these people, you know, we got to help them. Well, boy, howdy, they've got sanctuary cities. They're getting overwhelmed, and the first thing they're now bitching about is they want the border to start getting controlled. But they had no concern when people in Texas were saying, hey, rapes are up, crime is up, cars are being stolen, this is bad, bad, bad. Oh, you guys are just racist. You're racist because we are more enlightened. We have sanctuary cities. How's it working out for you, New York? How's it working out for you, Chicago?
You know, I asked one of the lice guys that was a superintendent for schools for the longest time, what happened to education? We're way down in the bottom 10 now.
Well, I don't know. I like to think it wasn't on my watch.
Well, it happened exactly on his watch.
Yep.
But, you know, you ask any of them, it's like asking somebody why they went bankrupt. It was always somebody else's fault.
Yep.
I did a good job. It was somebody else's fault.
Yep.
So I've got a clip coming up, and it is why the American worker doesn't have the incentive to work anymore. And Christina, the outstanding producer, she's going to play that clip right now. And please don't use bad words.
The problem we've had is that we have people decided they didn't really want to work so much anymore through COVID, and that has had a massive issue on productivity. You know, tradies have definitely pulled back on productivity. You know, they have been paid a lot to do not too much in the last few years, and we need to see that change. We need to see unemployment rise. Unemployment has to jump 40-50%, in my view. We need to see pain in the economy. We need to remind people that they work for the employer, not the other way around. I mean, there's been a systematic change where employees feel the employer is extremely lucky to have them, as opposed to the other way around. So it's a dynamic that has to change. We've got to kill that attitude, and that has to come through hurting the economy, which is what the whole global, you know, the world is trying to do. The governments around the world are trying to increase unemployment to get that to some sort of normality. And we're seeing it. I think every employer now is seeing it. I mean, there is definitely massive layoffs going off. People might not be talking about it, but people are definitely laying people off, and we're starting to see less arrogance in the employment market, and that has to continue because that will cascade across the cost balance.
You know, I saw a advertisement at Einstein's Bagels. Help wanted. Bring your resume and hours you're available. I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, no more qualifications about
here's your hours. Show up for work.
Be drug free. Have, you know, integrity. No, none of that's there. Just if you have a pulse and you're not going to absolutely fail a drug test, we might be able to get you a job.
And Mike was so frustrated. He said every time they're late for work, their phone didn't go off to wake them up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go on to China. Take over, Doug.
All righty, folks. The reason we're going macro is because there are some things that are happening in the world that are not making our news, and we want you guys to be a little bit ahead of the game. And what you need to understand and what we're going to spend the next 30 minutes or so kind of laying out is how bad it is in China. Now, you might say, well, what does it matter? It's China. Well, it's the second largest economy in the world. And it is imploding. China is dying. And as we're going to lay out here with some of this stuff, you may or may not have heard some of this stuff, but we're going to try to give you some information because the reality is China is a dying country, and they're at the point where their back is against the wall. So they may end up doing something in Taiwan just to throw some boost into it. But let's play the first clip about ghost cities. If you haven't heard about ghost cities, we're going to kind of hit on that a little bit, but there's a little clip here that I'd like to share.
Welcome to Bright Style. Would you believe me if I said that throughout China, there are hundreds of cities that have almost everything one needs for a modern urban lifestyle? High-rise apartment complexes, developed waterfronts, skyscrapers, and even public art. Everything, that is, except one major factor. People. These mysterious and almost completely empty cities.
Mysterious and completely empty cities. I've read articles that said there may be as many as 100. It may be as low as 35. But there, if you go onto YouTube, type in China empty cities or ghost cities, and what you're going to find is China lied to the world for 20-plus years. They had a gross domestic product based on infrastructure. Well, what we now know is they built cities completely to boost their gross domestic product, and there was no people in there.
Let me interrupt you. These aren't little cities like Reading. No. These are huge, huge cities with, 40, 50-story apartment buildings? Yeah. There might be 200 of them there. I mean, this isn't just some little podunk Whitmore or Oak Run.
Well, and, you know, Nick and I had a quick idea. We should gather up all of our homeless people in the United States and ship them there because they have a turnkey city. They even have one that has a replica of the Eiffel Tower.
You're stealing half my idea.
But the reason that this is important, guys, is the Chinese economy is based on air. It is lifted by air. Last year, Evergrande, the largest developer in the world, went basically belly up with a trillion dollars in debt, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars in debt. And there's more now that are actually coming to light that they're going to go start defaulting. And the thing is, and the reason why I brought Leo in is because Leo has traveled that region. He's been there. He's seen a lot of this stuff. So, Leo, you know what? Let's bring it to real to the people about what's going on in the shipping industry. That was your forte. That's where you were. What is the canary in the coal mine that you're seeing from China?
Well, the canary in the coal mine you see currently, of course, is that the volumes are dropping, right? So a lot of people don't realize that almost every second item you've got in the home is produced in China, right? That was a decision in the past where labor was cheap in China, you could produce cheap and you ship it out. But obviously there's a whole infrastructure that you need to get that freight into the Western world, which includes Europe and North America. And that typically is a containerized industry, right? So all these nice colored boxes you see on the road on trucks, this is basically loaded in China coming into the U.S. Now, the weaknesses in that system, in where you have production on one side of the globe and you have consumption in the other, came to light during COVID, right? Because if you look at those boxes, not one or two of those containers that move from China to the U.S. or to Europe. It's millions of them. There's about 200 million of them a year that have to be loaded, brought into a port, put into a vessel and shipped out to destination, unloaded and delivered. That's a huge undertaking, right? And it's, if you look at it from a human perspective, it's seamless. You've got your guy loading at origin, you've got the guy trucking it to the port, you've got the guy taking the box and sticking it onto a ship, and so on. So from a human perspective, this is pretty seamless. In reality, of course, it's very, very difficult to have those boxes in the right places at the right times at all times.
Absolutely.
And so what happened during COVID, to begin with, is that you hadn't had the people coming into work to load the containers. There weren't people in the port enough to unload these containers from the trucks onto the vessels, right? So what you start to see was, one, congestion in ports. Secondly, what you start to see is the importers not taking cargo because they couldn't get it. They didn't have the people to unload the containers. So you had a massive disruption. What carriers then typically do, the big shipping companies, they will see that the vessels aren't loaded properly. They will take out capacity, as they say. So they can do that very quickly nowadays. They will say, well, on this loop, as they call this, let's say Shanghai, US, and they do a loop, they will take out vessels and just lay them up so you have less capacity. Happened in COVID simultaneously is demand went up, right? So you had a big squeeze in terms of demand and supply in terms of space. And this drove up the rates significantly.
Well, what is happening now? You and I were talking about the capacity is the ships are now not filled like they're supposed to be because the reality is these ships are so big, they work on such margins. I mean, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars a day to run these things. But that's at full capacity. And you and I were talking just this last couple of days about what is happening today with capacity on those ships. What's going on?
Well, this is where I start the story a little bit further back, because what you did see is that the ocean freight rates for a container, on average, if you look China to Western Europe or China to the U.S., they went up from $2,000 a 40-foot container to $18,000 a 40-foot container. I mean, that is not a small increase, right?
No, they can run.
And there were, like, excesses where companies really needed their goods, and they paid up to $24,000 a container, where the market used to be $2,000. What you see now is the contrary, Doug. What you see now is the contrary. You can see there's a real squeeze on spending power in the U.S., in Europe, and there's no demand.
Yeah.
So what I see now is I've seen ships departing from China to New Zealand with only 25% loading, 75% empty. And what you see in shipping typically is you see this in the beginning of a year, and then you think, well, you know, there's a lot of inventory. They will deplete the inventory at destination first. And, you know, then you will see demand picking up and orders picking up and ships fill back up. But there's none of that now. There's none of this now.
You know what we could do? Every town on the West Coast, get a container, fill it with homeless. We can ship it to New Zealand for $18,000. One-way ticket. We can help the world economy.
Absolutely.
Well, no, and the reason that I bring this up, folks, is because, and I know it seems like it's so far out there. It's the universe. But China is literally not shipping stuff. Their economy is going backwards. They are a dying country. I mean, the replacement rate, which I'm going to tie into the economy, the replacement rate of humans is 2.1 for every couple. So every couple is supposed to have 2.1 kids. I'd love to see a picture of a 0.1. But that's called the sustainable, you know, moderate growth. In other words, there's actually positivity. China is, I believe, at 0.08. In other words, from every couple, there's less than one child being born. And then because China had that great idea of having one child for many years, and the liberal great idea of abortion was really in place for China, they killed millions upon millions of little girls. And that's just a statement of fact. Look it up. And what happened now is you have millions upon millions of young men without millions upon millions of young girls.
That's why they want to start a war. They've got to thin them men out.
Well, and so the thing is you've got a, you know, you've got a population that is declining. You've got an old and workforce that's getting older. You've got this now where they're not shipping anything. Folks, if you think, and then you've got just trillions of dollars of bad debt. And if you think the second economy in the world is not going to affect us, I mean, CalPERS is heavily invested in Chinese investments. And I was reading a really interesting story about how Xi Jinping might, in fact, and he's the leader of China for the record, he might, in fact, actually allow their economy to completely crash because he knows it'll bring ours down. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important for us to know what's going on there.
Thank goodness for CalPERS. If they lose their investments, we taxpayers get to make it up for them.
Yes, we do. But, I mean, Leo, you know, in the shipping industry, you know, China is the 10-million-pound gorilla. What is the industry saying now when they see these volumes? I mean, is there layoffs coming? What's going on?
Well, first of all, I mean, the unemployment in China is rising rapidly. So that's one, because of the lack of orders.
Yep.
And the lack of orders is twofold. It's one, the recession in the West. But the other thing is that companies are now doing two things. They're shifting back to reshoring, i.e. bring production back home. And the other thing is that they're shifting production down to Southeast Asia. So countries like Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, because there's no threat from these people. There's no intellectual theft of your products.
No.
And this is what they see, of course, with China. And the Western world is increasingly apprehensive of feeding the lion or the crocodile that's going to eat you.
Well, and the thing is, you know, we keep getting told by the media about how China is this and a military that and whatever. China's military is 100% diesel-fed. They have to import a ton of diesel just to operate their economy, much less the fact that their entire navy is diesel, including their aircraft carrier. So they literally have a range off of their coast about up to 200, 250 miles, at which point they are at the end of their ability to really operate. Because it's not you just go out there. You have to go out there, then you have to operate, and then you have to come back. And so they're at the point now where Taiwan is getting to look more and more tasty because that's the only thing they have at their disposal. But what the Chinese are doing is they have infiltrated most of the governments in South America, in Africa. They are securing all the raw materials, and that's just going to be a big issue. And I mean, we haven't even hit on BRICS yet there, Nick. And BRICS was a gigantic news story that didn't make the news about what's going on with BRICS. And we can hit on that a little bit in the second half. But I wanted Leo in here because, you know, we don't hear what's going on in the shipping industry. We don't know if ships are filled. We just know that things may or may not be getting to our shelves. Would you say, Leo, that we should expect in the near future that shelves might start to get to be a little barer from Chinese product?
I'm absolutely convinced of this, yes. I mean, what I see in the shipping industry currently, I mean, I've seen bad periods, right? You always have these peaks and troughs in economies in any case. I mean, you look back 2008, it was pretty bad.
Yes.
What I see now in shipping with empty vessels and lack of orders is not just the worst I've seen, it's taking the longest. I mean, it's just carry on, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. And that is pretty scary, to be honest with you. I've never seen it as bad as now.
And you've been doing it, I don't know, 30 years?
Thank you for giving away my age. Yeah.
Well, you're 31, so I mean, you're good looking for 31. Yeah. But I mean, this is the worst. I mean, here's a gentleman who has worked through the worst downturn in our lifetime, and he's saying what's going on now in China is the worst he's ever seen. And he's saying to you folks that it's there's no light. There's no positivity coming out of this. And so, you know, you guys, I'm not here to give you doom and gloom, but I'm not going to let, you know, what could be a major financial shock to our system just go away and then go back, oh, my gosh, yeah, I saw that, but I didn't want to say anything.
Hey, listen, we're going to have to take a break. First, we're going to have a clip on from Jordan Peterson. And after the break, be sure and be here because I have a clip from this last supervisor's meeting, and one of the lice is speaking. You're going to enjoy that.
Let's
low information citizen entity.
So in China, for example, God, this is going to happen here, I think, too. Although maybe people will fight it. If a traffic camera catches you jaywalking in China, the digital ID system has you, has your blood now, has your genetic code, has your photograph. It can identify how you walk, so even if you can't see a face, you can be picked up by gait. It will convict you of jaywalking and take money out of your bank account with no intermediating judiciary at all, and show a picture of you to the people in the neighborhood so they know that you have jaywalked, and reduce your social credit score. And if your social credit score falls below a certain level, then you can't buy drinks from a vending machine. You can't play video games. You can't go on a train. You can't get out of your 15-minute city. All that's already in place in China.
Wow. We're going to a break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Okay. There is nothing transparent about this. Yes, you can make it out to look like whatever you want, and with the political theater that you are currently, like, performing, I'm sure you're going to do, like, a vote and all these things to make it look official that this was all, like, on the up and up. But it's not on the up and up. You're part of a freaking crime syndicate. And if you don't think you are, what do you think Reaver John Salmo is? And how do we know that this is more than political actions with all his political action committees and all his crap like that? Is stuff like Carlos Zapata, like, doing his intimidation tactics on the DA when he was being prosecuted and Reaver John Salmo paying for all that crap, too? That makes you more than a political action committee at this point. It is a crime syndicate that could be federally prosecuted for that. And this is nothing more than you intimidating Kathy Darling for her political beliefs or her political standing and her winning something that you wanted Bob Holslinger to get. You aren't being transparent. You're trying to undermine the very fabrics of how we vote and do things. Trying really hard to remain polite as I am, please. I am a preschool teacher and I do teach children, so I'd like to keep my mouth I'd like to keep my mouth in check at this point in time. But the fact of the matter is this is nothing more than a political theater and another like way to scapegoat Kathy Darling so you can replace her with one of your little stooges in your crime syndicate, and don't say that it is anything except that. And all we have to do is connect the dots between how all of you are connected, including when Nathan Blaze got assaulted by Carlos Zapata and how that was really a political event and not just a random thing because he got made fun of on Facebook. The fact of the matter is that this has all been connected for a matter of years. And before I hear anything else about people being polite, I was here 2 years ago when you couldn't hear me because people were screaming over me, calling me names. I've been doxxed by people in your, and not just like crazies like Vladislav Davidson, who you guys all disavow yet use. I've been doxxed by, what was his name again, Bill Pyatt. We've been threatened by Eric Gallardo and his whole try it in public and see what we do. You are a crime syndicate, and this isn't political. This is you trying to take out your opposition.
This is an example of one of the lice from the infestation that's at the supervisors' meetings lately. Did you get that? She is a preschool teacher?
Well, and, being a teacher, you would think she'd want to have, like, some facts in her statement there, but everything that she just said was a patent lie, which is a classic liberal attempt. Just throw stuff out there and see what sticks. I mean, we could break this down and analyze it almost on a sentence-by-sentence thing, but everything she just said is a patent lie.
And Carlos Zapata intimidating the DA at his trial?
Oh, yeah. And
give
and
me a break.
The reality is, in Zapata's defense, is he had a trial. He was found innocent. He had to plead to some, weapons charge or whatever. But it was something, or disrupting the peace or some stupid thing.
Throwing water on somebody.
Yeah, throwing water on somebody. So, he actually went to court. The DA presented her evidence, it turned out that what happened was Nathan was the aggressor. Nathan was the one that was going to go grab a gun. Turns out Nathan was the one that started the whole thing. Everything this lady just said, and she's a typical liberal because she's a teacher. And last election, teachers in California donated 97% to the liberal cause. That's an example of why our school system is so messed up. This lady is in charge of children, and she doesn't know truth from how she feels.
Low information citizen entity. Lice. So anyway, we're probably not going to get too much more local stuff. We're going to run with China and whatever we want to run with. I want to ask Leo something. They're warning us about food shortages right now. Do you see that in Europe? Do you worry about, are we all going to starve to death?
No, I think it's a typical thing on the liberal left is they're prepping you for food shortages.
Well,
right?
Yes.
So if you look at Netherlands, which have the most productive farmers in the world.
And the cleanest
in the world. And our government is trying to shut them down.
Three thousand
farms are being, and they are being offered 120% now of the value of their farms, just to kick them out. And of course the other argument is the environment. We have to save nature. We have no nature in Netherlands. It's man-made country. And again, it's very, very simple. It doesn't make any sense in the sense that if you take away these farmers, you take away supply. You don't take away the demand. The only thing you make happen is that the supply is going to shift elsewhere. It's going to shift to Brazil, it's going to shift to Africa, or, God forbid, to China. And this is what's going to happen, and then the production of that food is even going to be worse. And we have to import it, like we now have to import energy as well from rogue players, right, in the world. So I think it's all a ruse.
Well, and that's the thing is, for folks to give you an idea of Holland, I lived there for 5 years playing baseball, so I know it very well, been top to bottom, left to right. And from the top to the bottom at Maastricht, you're talking about is no traffic, maybe just under 3 hours of driving time at 60 miles an hour. That's the length of a country. The width is probably 2 hours. So 2 hours wide, about 3 hours north-south if you have no traffic. And they want to shut down 3,000 farms. Let that sink in. Between basically the Oregon border to, maybe Willows, they want to shut down 3,000 under the guise of environment, and yet the reality is the Dutch farmer is the cleanest, highest producing farmer in the world. Why would you take that production out?
They're the second biggest food exporter, believe it or not, in the world after America.
Yeah. So, yeah, Nick, there is a plan here. It's just like the reason why Bezos and Mr. Gates and the Chinese Communist Party are buying massive swaths of American farmland and putting them on, setting them fallow. Is they're not going to be food shortages. They're going to create them.
They're planting fallow. What's it taste like?
Yeah, well, yeah. Fallow is very it's very airy. So it's kind of a diet food. But you know, reverting back a little bit to China, because I really wanted to hit on this because Leo's got a great story that we want to share. So you know, China is exempt from going green. You know, they have a massive. I mean, I think it's something like they're opening a coal fired plant every week or some asinine number. It's just bizarre. Anyways, they do put out there that they're going green, and fortunately the dirty little secret got out here a number of months back, is the Chinese government has bought hundreds of thousands of electric vehicles, hundreds of thousands. Go on the go on YouTube, type in Chinese electric vehicles or whatever, and you'll get it. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of acres of brand new electric EV vehicles parked. Because that way China can claim they're trying to be green. They did the same thing with electric e-bikes, and you've got mountains, I mean literally 40, 50-foot high mountains of brand new electric e-bikes because they're trying to convince the world that they're going green. Well, as we know, green doesn't work, energy doesn't work. It's a complete scam, it's a hoax, it's as big a hoax if not bigger than freaking COVID. But Leo brought a story to tell you about just how bad energy is getting in Europe with his sister. He recently spent a week with his sister in New York, and this is what it's like. This is our future if we don't get in front of it. So Leo, lay it out in Holland, this first world country. How is energy going for your sister?
It's going not so great, to be honest. I mean, so with all the green policies and green energy, and you know, it's caused energy prices to rise to such an extent that my sister used to pay around 200 euros a winter month to heat the house. She's now hitting 700-800 euros a month to heat the house. So you can imagine what kind of impact just this element has on your net spendable income. This is money we don't spend in the supermarket. This is money we don't spend in the shopping center.
Yep. Well, and folks, this is stuff that's coming down. And again, I bring it back to China. China's not an oil exporter, but boy, they are sure buying the Russian oil at a discount. India is buying the Russian oil at a discount, and the rest of the West is sitting there stuck in this green delusion, not illusion, green delusion, and basically we're letting China get away with it, and yet China is our mortal enemy, and they're lying to the world. They are not this big thing that they point themselves out to be, and we're going to start to see that their economy really is going to start to drag ours down. And that's a big issue.
How can you drive our economy down any further than what it is?
Well, believe me, it's very possible. And that's why I want Leo to kind of explain what's going on with the shipping industry. Because, you know, you go into any store, and it was funny, I was telling Leo this as a side note last week. Walmart, for any of us that are old enough to remember, back in the day, remember, it was proud American. It was from America. Walmart was American.
Oh, sure.
Go in and try to find one thing that's from America in Walmart today. Imagine that now being impacted by the fact that ships are coming over here empty or close to empty, and the economy over there is starting to tank, and they're not doing production. That's going to impact us. It's going to result in loss of product, which means layoff. They don't need that many people stocking shelves if, in fact, there is no product to shelf. And it's just there's so many things going on that we're not being told by our government I've been saying for a year, I did a presentation to my board of realtors, myself, me, Doug Jenke, and I said, this is the similarities between 2007 and 2022. And I laid out a number of items, probably 10 or 12, that were similar, and then what happened after 2007. And I've been sitting there thinking to myself, Nick, I must be going crazy because none of it has happened.
Yes.
It's now starting to happen. It's now starting to come to fruition. So, Leo, I mean, what is the mindset now? Because the liberals have managed to poison the water, the well, and the food. What is the mindset in Holland in terms of what's coming on with these policies?
Well, I think that, as I said before, I mean, the people in the street are waking up to this kind of thing, of course, because they are now being hit in the wallet. This is the only thing that speaks to people's minds nowadays, right? They don't think, but once the wallet gets hit, they start waking up.
Maybe that's why we're printing money. Government wants to keep them sleeping.
Well, and that's what they've been doing. I mean, you know, our strategic oil reserve was drained by half last year to buy an election. Well, now we've got the lowest strategic oil reserve. And another thing I mentioned earlier, that, and I'm bringing this in macro, folks, it's much deeper and more detailed than this, but you guys need to know and hear this stuff, is just last month there was a meeting called BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South America. Well, they added 11 members to this group. Now, what's important about this group? They added Iran and Saudi Arabia, mortal enemies, are now in this group. Well, what does it represent? Well, number one, it represents the two of the three largest oil-producing countries in the world, Saudi Arabia and Russia. They are going to form almost a 50% or 60% of the world's population are now in a completely different economic bloc, and they're getting out of the dollar. China is leading this whole let's get out of the dollar thing because they want to pay everybody in their yuan. Yeah. And again, there's just stuff going on that's going to impact us, and you got to pay attention because if you watch any mainstream news, and Fox included, they don't talk about this stuff. But Saudi Arabia and Russia have now – I mean, Saudi Arabia said it earlier. They said they'd love to see a barrel of oil at about $150 a barrel. Well – it's now working its way up, and the inside knowledge is by the end of the year, we're going to see over $100 per barrel. Well, we're almost paying $6 a gallon today at $90 a barrel. What's that going to look like to us when we're spending more money on fuel that we can't spend on food, clothing, vacations, entertainment?
Yeah, but let me point something out.
Please.
We have brought this on ourselves.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Man-made.
You know, I've noticed that we run up a great big debt to all these other countries, and then all of a sudden we go into a recession, we print money, we cause inflation. We're renting off, we're paying off old money with new money that's about half of what it was worth.
Yep.
And they're getting tired of it, and I don't blame them.
Well, I mean, that's
not that I like it. But, no. You know, our politicians have not represented us, the best interest of the United States, for a long, long time. And we have brought this on ourselves by not paying attention and voting these people back
yes.
in.
Well, you know.
And when we got somebody in, Donald Trump, look what happened.
Who knows how to run a shop?
And I talk to people now that won't vote for Donald Trump because of his personality. Well, we're not electing personalities. Uh-huh. We're electing results. Well, wake up.
Well, those same morons who make that statement are the ones that voted for Obama because he was a great orator. The reality is if you
national lice.
The reality is if you took his teleprompter away, the man couldn't speak two words on a good bet with a gun to his head. The reality is people get tied up, and I'll be the first. Nick, I'm going to publicly say I don't like Donald Trump's personality either because he did so many good things for our country. But then he would go and ruin it by saying stuff. It was like, just do it and kind of let it speak for itself. And it's funny, as in Holland, and I'll hit Leo up here a little bit, but my wife's family hated Trump. And I'd go, well why?
He lied. What did he lie about?
But I mean,
where'd he go?
Leo, you're Dutch, and you stay in touch with folks over there. What do they see about America now with what's going on with Trump and everything else?
Well, I think there's a low attention span in Netherlands as well, but for the ones that do follow it, I mean, we're baffled by this whole thing, of course. I mean, because as you rightfully said, it's all about emotion on the left. And they've hijacked the whole political arena by throwing stuff out there like, you know, transgenderism and racism. It's all the isms, which the right has no way of defending themselves to. So you're being held there with your arm against the back. And I agree here with Nick. You know, you see the whole emotion here in America against Trump. You don't have to marry the guy. You don't sleep in the same bed. He needs to run the shop. And you know what? He knows how to do this. And this is actually what the issue is. We have now Biden in office and the left. These people have never run a shop in their lives. They don't know what GP is.
Or Clinton. Or Obama.
All of them.
No.
They have no idea. Build Back Better, brought to you by the people that have never built anything in their lives.
Isn't that the truth? Make America great again. And don't quit making it great.
Well, I say get Trump in and get him back in.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's amazing that we have got to this point, and I've been very upfront that I blame conservatives for where we're at, myself included. We were living a life. We were with our kids. We were going to work, working our 40, 50-hour weeks, and we weren't paying attention to the shop.
You know what will make you feel better?
What's that?
Legalize marijuana.
There you go. Well, that's only helped, too.
Fry your brain.
Yeah, fry your brain with the most potent stuff in history. No, but, I mean, we were there working and building America, making it great, and the liberals were in the store stealing the candy.
And we
said, oh, it's just a little bit of candy. Just a little bit. That's crazy, you know, Aunt Lynn is. You know, that's Louie. He's a little nuts. Well, we let it happen. And I said to Leo, I said, I fear that we are a stage 4 cancer patient, and I say this with respect to cancer patients, but we're at a point where the sickness is killing the host. And I don't know how we're going to get out of it. I don't know what we need to do, because I don't think an election is necessarily going to right the ship. The disease is in our schools. I mean, it's going to take an entire generation of kids indoctrinated to overturn what we're facing now. Like that teacher. That teacher you brought up, that's who's teaching our kids.
Yeah. Yes. You know, you brought up a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. They've been feeding this to us.
Yeah.
And I'm going back to that Jordan Peterson clip with the face recognition and giving you a jaywalking ticket in China, and you don't have anything to say about it. We're in line for that. Now they're going to start giving speeding tickets off the monitors on the street. You're not even going to get pulled over. They're going to jerk the money out of your bank account, and you were speeding, and you're not even going to have your day in court.
Well, you know, and the thing is, it's a liberal Democrat that's sitting there saying, well, we've got, you know, high traffic, high fatality zones, blah, blah. Leo, Holland is one giant camera.
It is one giant camera. It's like there's one every 300 meters, and when I got back to, I went back to Holland in 19, and within 2 months I had like, I would say 10 or 12 speed violations. And don't think that I was speeding like crazy. These are just cameras that are there. You can do 35 on a road where you can easily do 60, and I did 37.
And you got a ticket.
And you get a ticket.
How much time between you got that ticket?
3 days. 3 days. Fully
so you
automated.
You can get two or three tickets before you even know that they kind of changed the rules.
Fully automated. It's just a conveyor belt of transferring money from you to the government. That's what it is.
And now in Chicago or New York, the government's going to have to start running and putting in supermarkets. Grocery stores.
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
Yeah. Not well. The government hasn't run one thing well. The military is maybe the only exception. Even that's not run
but
well.
But a little bit at a time. They've created the problem.
Yes.
They've created it 100% to where the private guy can't be in business anymore. These people haven't got a way to, what do they call them? Grocery deserts.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't a store within walking distance. As soon as we get our 15-minute cities to where you're going to live within 15 minutes of everything you need, and you're going to be happy, according to George Soros.
And Klaus Schwab.
And Klaus Schwab.
The government will put in there, well, that might be a good thing. We might cut down on diabetes, no more sugary snacks and stuff.
Well, for some people, I mean, if you're a good supporter of liberal causes, you'll probably be able to buy extra food, including desserts and ice cream. But, yes, we have allowed this, Nick. We have gotten this point. And again, we're going kind of macro on today's show just because there are some events coming. It's my opinion from a lot of reading, that the last quarter of this year, the one we're about to enter, October, November, December, we're going to start to hear a whole lot more about bad banks, bad loans, commercial real estate going south. And you would have to be crazy to think that you're going to start to have this bad news pile up. They can't lower interest rates because that's going to drive inflation. At the same time, they've got to raise the interest rate to stop inflation, and they're not going to be able to do that. And so I think we're going to start to see more bank failures. Commercial real estate is going belly up in huge areas and huge amounts, and it's going to be hitting us in our pocketbook. Be prepared for it, folks.
Let me ask you something. I put the blame for the 2008 recession completely at the feet of America.
Yeah, Wall
Street. Can we put this one at the feet of America?
Well, I can even go a little bit further. 2008 was blamed by, or was caused by Bill Clinton and Janet Reno. Now people go, wait a minute, 2008, he was out of the office. Well,
the shaker was in on it?
just as a quick little narrative, back in the late 90s, Bill Clinton wanted to be the first black president, and so he wanted higher home ownership, minority ownership. So him and Janet Reno went to the banks and said, look, we need you guys to give loans so we can increase the minority ownership. And the banks came at the time and said, look, money's green. We don't care what color the people are. Money's green, and they can't pay back because they got bad credit. And that's not a racist thing. That's just anybody. Well, the banks kowtowed and started giving bad loans in the late 90s. Well, the acceptable default rate by a bank running a business is between 1 and 2%. They assume that 2 out of 100 loans are going to go belly up. Well, into George's term, they were seeing default rates into the 20% on those loans. And when they went to Congress to say, hey, let us stop giving these bad loans because their default rates are almost 1 in 4, Barney Frank, Christopher Dodd, and Charles Rangel came in and said, no, 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 you're not doing enough. And hence came the pick a payment, the option arm, all the good stuff, and we ended up at 2008. So had it not been for a president wanting to be the first black president and instructing the banks, 2008 would have never happened. Never.
So it was completely the United States brought the world economy to its knees.
Yep, absolutely. And we're at it again. We've got all this debt that we keep printing and selling, and now what's happened with this formation of BRICS is they now are saying, we don't want the dollar. We want to get out of the dollar.
Yeah, but who wants a renminbi? Who wants the Chinese yuan?
Well, I think that's the question that is now being developed in the BRICS situation, is what's going to be their currency or what's going to be their unifying form of payment. And the rumor has it, a lot of big people are saying gold is going to come on the BRICS, and America is supported by air. And so, yes, Nick, 2008 was brought on by us, and this tsunami we're about to see, except for China's own deceit, and China will get their upcomings, and it's going to be ugly, but they're going to bring down the rest of the world with it. It's not going to be pleasant, and it's just starting. I mean, we are just now hitting, I think, the leading edge of the storm. I mean, yeah.
And it looks like it's been raining and sprinkling for quite a while now.
The minute that Joe Biden got in there, the spigots were turned open, and the bad stuff started really in earnest, and it's not showing any signs of letting up.
You know, I got to a supervisor's meeting, and I said, does anybody notice where the U.S. economy went to heck the day Donald Trump left office and the day Joe Biden came in? And the lice, they just started laughing and making fun of me. Yeah. That's the absolute truth.
Yeah,
it's a fact-based. Yeah. You can look back at it. We were 100% energy dependent. We're now importing energy.
Oil dictates everything.
Yes.
The price of oil dictates everything.
Gasoline was like $3.20 a gallon for unleaded and like $3.59 for premium. I filled up for the racetrack the other day, and I was paying almost $6 a gallon. But that's under Joe.
One of the interviewers asked Donald Trump what he would do to get the economy going. What do you think his answer was? Drill, baby, drill.
Yeah. We don't even need to drill.
Let's go back to China. He said something about their rum, the China rum, their money. Is that what it was?
Yuan. There's two words for the same coin.
Rum.
Yuan.
Does it get drunk faster?
No. Well, they do, and they turn red.
Pre-frog beer.
Yeah. Can I just get 1 second in for the Chinese?
We've got 3 minutes. Finish it up.
No, I'm not necessarily finish up, but I mean, we have to be very careful when you speak about China, because China is the people and the government, right? So the people in the economy are capitalistic, right? And the key thing here is that the government that runs it is still the same communists that were in there in the 60s and 70s. So there's a huge divide. The Chinese people are actually very nice people. They're very comfortable. They're very open. They're very happy to entertain you.
You can say that about the Americans.
The same. Absolutely the same. And this is one of the things, I mean, as a sidestep again, I mean, I can remember that I said to my grandmother that I went through the Second World War, and you know how Rotterdam was bombed. And at one point I said to my grandmom, I said, well, you really must hate the Germans. And I'll never forget this. What she said is, never say that again. She said, this has nothing to do with the Germans. If you think that the Germans are all bloodthirsty idiots, that's not true. It's the Nazis. It's the 10% that dictate what the other 90% do. Never forget this.
I understand that. You betcha.
Yeah. And that's where we find ourselves into America today. I mean, liberals count for about 10% of quote-unquote registered voters, but they scream 99% of the volume. And we, as conservatives, we're at that point in history, folks. I'm doing this radio show with Nick because I don't want to be the person that when it hits the fan, I go, God, I wish I'd said something. This is my small attempt, my little effort to try and give some information that might help us because, boy, we're going to need help here soon, in my opinion.
Hey, what's this? We got Tucker Carlson on the phone?
He wanted some of our enlightenment, Nick.
Yeah.
He's going to start using your LICE acronym.
I hope so, because it fits.
Well, you know, today was a different show for us. We've spent a lot of time in the last month dealing with this Kevin Cry recall, and at this juncture, the